usually for every Monday, there's a Paul Feinbaum that joins the show. Obviously, holiday yesterday. He'll join us today, and he does each and every week, thanks to our friends at Craneworks.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, Craneworks, Rentalworks, yeah, the big dog's got it.
Paul Feinbaum on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it, big dog's got it. And now, Paul Feinbaum.
Paul, always great to visit with you. It should come as no surprise that the SEC dominant yet again. Four of six teams left at the College World Series. If A&M gets a win in the early matchup today, it will be four of five that are remaining at the College World Series. Just how impressed have you been with what the Southeastern Conference has been able to pull off there in Omaha over the weekend?
Well, it's just really confirmation of what we already know, that baseball now in the SEC is on the same level as football. In some ways, it may even be better. And all that does, Cole, is irritate the rest of the world. I think the stat was out yesterday by somebody that the SEC has had, 15 of 16, in either the BCS or the CFP championship game. And now we're trending towards similar numbers in recent years. And we're glued to this league, so we find it entertaining. I'm sure if you're in the Pac-12 right now or in Austin, Texas, you're going, I don't like this at all. At least in Austin, Texas, you can say we'll be in the league in a couple of years. But it's important for a lot of reasons. But this is a fairly down time of the year. People do flip on ESPN and there's a game on, so they're watching it and they see the SEC, which just brands the league even better than it's already been. And in some ways, people will say, well, what else can the league do? But that doesn't stop Coke or Pepsi or the beer companies from advertising. It's all marketing and it's all promoting the greatness of this league.
Paul, as you look at kind of baseball and the way that it's kind of changed, basketball similarly didn't have quite the success in the tournament. Do you think it's basically completely revolves around the footprint that the SEC occupies? Do you think it's because of the resources? What do you attribute it to?
I think really the resources may be more important. You can have good baseball in the West, you know that, in Texas. But ultimately, this trend started years ago, Greg, as you know, where if you didn't have a top-notch facility, you were not going to draw players. And now everybody is trying to outdo each other. And you take a drive through the SEC, and your jaw drops when you see these baseball facilities. And I think that's what attracts the players. These guys are not dissimilar to football players. They're looking for opportunities to get to the next level. And you can do that from a lot of places. Baseball is probably even easier because there's so many tributaries to the major leagues through the minor leagues. But success breeds success. I know that sounds very pedestrian, but and baseball though is unpredictable, as you guys know. Ole Miss is now in a position to play for the national championship, and it's literally done everything imaginable this year, from being ranked number one to coming apart at the seams, to nearly firing its coach, to now being where they are. That I don't see that happening very often in football. Now, occasionally in basketball, you'll get a story like that, but baseball is unique, and I think it is the least predictable of all the sports. I think the three of us today, if we picked the final four in football, we would get two and probably three right. If you tried to predict the final four in baseball this year a month ago, you'd be out of luck right now.
I don't think there's any doubt. Paul Feinbaum joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. He's with us each week. Thanks to our friends at Craneworks. Switching to a different sport, one that you just mentioned, college football. I want to get your reaction to some of the comments from George Kliavkoff, the Pac-12 commissioner over the weekend, speaking to The Athletic, saying, quote, "We have to be realistic about the fact that football is a unique animal among the rest of college sports, and that there are conferences that should be more aligned and should be more in control of the future of high-level college football." What does it say to you that George Kliavkoff is now on board with seemingly the commissioner of the SEC and other athletic directors at high-profile Power Five universities when it comes to how football should be governed in the future?
Well, I'm glad to see George join the parade because you know, if it wasn't for George, we might be talking about being a year away from a CFP 12-team expansion playoff. But he got in last year around this time. He got his feelings hurt because you know, he was learning things that he didn't know. And then he did a really nice job of torpedoing something that would have served his conference perhaps more than any other conference. What he's stating is obvious, and many have said it before him, that the NCAA really should not be involved in any way in football. And guys, you already know that they really aren't involved very much. College football controls its own postseason, at least from the CFP standpoint. But he's also signaling the future of college sports. And, you know, at what date it is going to happen, it is simply impossible to predict. But the model is in the process of being blown to smithereens. And, you know, they'll mask it by coming up with all these new rules for, with this new transformation committee. And it will be better than it was, but the NCAA model still needs to be blown up. The top of the Power Five need to break away and have their own existence, and I think it would be a much more enjoyable sport.
How long do you think it's going to take for us to eventually get to that point, Paul?
Greg, I think it's going to be, you know, I know we're Swarbrick of Notre Dame said in the mid 2033 or something. It can't wait that long. You know that. It's what we've already seen. 1 year, we are a week short of 1 year in NIL, and we've already seen a revolution. I think it will be in the next couple of years. But the thing that concerns me the most is while leaders like Kliakoff talk about the problems in intercollegiate athletics, they're also at the root of the problem. Until college conference commissioners start reacting like CEOs at Fortune 500 companies that can completely turn their company over overnight by necessity, we're not going to make much progress. These are bureaucrats, A to Z. They all talk a good game. They're all meeting this weekend in Park City at another five-star resort where I'm sure they'll appoint a bunch of committees. But until someone moves, until a commissioner, you know, says, we're changing and we have to change by next year, we're not going to get very far. I mean, how many times have you heard somebody talk about the CFP? And out of one side of their mouth, they're talking about the 12-team playoff, and then they're adding, hey, oh, by the way, you know, we haven't even picked the 2026 site yet. Like, who cares? You could go to Indianapolis next year and play that game. You could go to Atlanta. You can play that. They talk in this bureaucratic, nonsensical speak that until they get past that, they're not going to ever get closer to the end. I know I've rambled for a long time, Greg. 5 years minimum, 10 years probably on the high side, but not soon enough.
Going back to those conversations you mentioned, Paul, do you believe that the majority of that is due to just how different all the different entities are, be it conferences, conference commissioners, be it presidents, athletic directors, and that makes it just that much more difficult for everybody to sort of get on the same page and not, I guess, talk in circles and lead us down these paths that usually lead to nothing?
Yeah, I mean, it comes from that. I mean, ultimately, if you're on a college campus right now in an administrative position, you can't make a decision without going through a bunch of channels. But what it's going, what you need in college athletics, by the way, I was being cynical about Kliakoff a minute ago, but I do like his background. I think we need more people in these positions who come from the real world and not from the academic world or the world of intercollegiate athletics, because that's really part of the problem. And when you look at whatever happens in college athletics in a couple of years, when NIL, as I know Greg has indicated, completely blows up and there's this mushroom cloud, and you do the autopsy, you're going to find the culprit being those bureaucrats who still hold many key positions in college sports. I mean, these are all bright people. They're all well-meaning. I don't mean to you know, paint a broad brush, but bureaucrats rarely enact change. You need innovators. You need people that know how to make things happen, that know how to that have worked at companies that have to have a return on investment versus the way intercollegiate athletics and the way academics operates.
You did reference a second ago though innovators. Like a lot of people have, and I don't know, I haven't spent much time with them, but a lot of people have said that George Kliavkov is an innovator. He is a difference maker. Is that accurate in your assessment?
I think so. But I will also say I do like where he comes from. I don't like the fact that he came in last year and acted like, well, I wasn't part of your group, therefore I can do my best to kill it. But that's okay. I'm past that. Well, actually, I'm not. But for the sake of your question, I'm going to be past it. I do think that's important, Greg. I do. You also have Kevin Warren from the Big Ten, who came from an NFL background, which is fine. I like that. He blundered out of the gate because I think he thought he could plow through a lot of people, and it didn't work. But ultimately, you do need sharp people in there. I think there is an overhaul going on right now, and I think that's good. But the problem is those men and women who are commissioners. Guess what? They still have to deal with college presidents, and I think that's the root. These college presidents don't think like the real world Fortune 500 companies. They're very deliberate. They're very careful. These are the same people who gave Mark Emmert 2 years ago a contract extension when he should have been thrown out on his ear.
Is there a conference commissioner, Paul, in your eyes that you feel is kind of behind the eight ball because of how much he has to rely on what his presidents are putting on him?
Well, I think they're all in a very similar position, Greg, because conference commissioners only have one board of directors. I mean,
yeah.
Those are the presidents. So let's talk about Sankey, for example. He's very well thought of. He's made some tremendous moves, but he has to get along with those presidents. And if he doesn't, he's out. It's as simple as that. And presidents are a quirky group of people. They live in a different world. And anytime you guys have spent enough time on college campuses and have interacted, and you know they beat to a different drummer. They have to balance. They have to have a lot of balance. And while they're concerned about what we are concerned about, they have to also act like they're concerned about a bunch of other things.
Paul, always appreciate the time. Look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Guys, a pleasure. Thank you.
Paul Finebaum of ESPN, the SEC Network. You can hear his show 2 to 6 p.m. weekdays right here on Jocks 94.5. He joined us on the Bud Light Hotline, carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.